Been a couple of weeks, but it's time to catch up with David Renicky from the website davidrenicky.com. David, hello.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back, Wilco.
Thank you so much. I'll never MC a wedding again.
No, I can understand that.
I was telling David about some of these sound effects I was playing at the ceremony and didn't go down too well. Anyway, of course, in the last couple of weeks, everyone's been talking about SpaceX. We had would you say it was a successful launch 2 weeks ago?
No, I'd say it's a tremendous success.
Tremendous, there we go.
Yeah, look, you couldn't have gone any better. You've got to hand it to this guy. You've got to take your hat off to him. He's done what he said he's going to do. All the knockers who said, you know, you can't do this, he's put them all to bed. SpaceX, run by Elon Musk, not only launched a capsule, you know, to the space station there, full of goodies in it, but he also returned it back here, back to Earth, without any fuss or bother.
And that's the key. You've got to come back.
Nothing went wrong. Yeah, well, that's it. The hard part is getting back here. When it arrived there, it arrived with a bit of cargo inside the capsule, no passengers. But the little dummy in there is full of equipment. They call it Ripley, the dummy with all the instrumentation on board to see what the effects of the human body would be on that particular launch. So right now I'd say they're going through the data to find out what they can determine from it. But a tremendous success, and I think you'll find that now we've entered a new era where American astronauts will finally be launched from their own home soil.
I think the trouble now, David, is now it's going to be the race to see who gets to Mars first. Now, of course, you know, Jeff Bezos is now having a go at Elon Musk and his plan to colonise Mars. I mean, I know this bargy and tater-tate sort of, you know, it's sort of who's going to make the loudest noise, who's going to do it first. I think they should all get together. Branson should get together with Jeff and Elon, and let's, as a conglomerate, put our forces together rather than set up separate companies. Do you feel that would be the way to go, surely?
Well, look, this is business, you know. You can't say, look, let's join two radio stations up and make it the one. You've got to have your own identity. You've both got different ideas. Jeff Bezos, the co-founder of Amazon, is now in a verbal stoush with, you know, Elon Musk. He's saying that, you know, Musk should bring his ideas closer to home. Bezos himself has developing his own spacecraft, which would be taking people into space.
Yeah.
But not only that, he said we should work a little bit closer to the planet. There's no sense in going to Mars. There's nothing there for us. It's too hard a job. It's a costly exercise.
Who is this guy?
Well, Jeff Bezos is pretty close to what he's saying. He's pretty close to what most people would think, given the economic situation we've got. But a mission to Mars has got to be a collaboration. You can't do it on your own. NASA can't do it. No one nation can do that. You've got to have private enterprise, and that's what's going on now. NASA have taken on board SpaceX. They've given him a launch pad, 39B, the one they launched to the moon. He's got his own business, his own territory out there, his own patch of land. And he's working in concert with NASA, and what they jointly find, they'll share. Jeff Bezos, on the other hand, he wants to build space stations in orbit around the Earth where people can work, bases on the moon where we can do good science and people can go to for a holiday, rather than stretch out too far afield. He's thinking that, you know, he's saying Elon Musk has got the right idea, but he's extending his reach a little bit too far.
But we need that. You've got this on your website as well, davidrenicky.com, that we do need a plan B, because if we get an asteroid into us, if something happens to our atmosphere, we pollute ourselves to death, where can we go to? We need an escape plan, David.
Well, that's it. You know, Michio Kaku is somebody I follow quite regularly.
Yeah.
He's one of the leading scientists, one of the popularizers of astronomy in space, and also one of the people who are on YouTube more than anybody else. He's come out with a new book now. And the book is called The Future of Humanity. And he's pretty right, saying that 99% of species that ever lived on this planet become extinct. And we stand the same sort of thing to happen to us. And what he's saying is we need to have a plan B. And there's nothing wrong with a plan B. I think all of us at some stage in life have formulated a what-if situation. And this is what this is all about. And what he's saying is that we should go to Mars. We should put a base there. Go to the moon, also establish a human presence there as well, because if that does happen, and it will, it means that one natural disaster, one major disaster, can't wipe the human race out.
That's right.
We're not only in danger from being hit by a major piece of rock, that could completely take out life on this planet, which it did 65 million years ago, but we're also in danger of ourselves turning us into an extinct species.
And don't think that, you know, we've got the technology to destroy any potential asteroid coming towards us. We don't. It really is a hit-and-miss situation, and we've got more of a chance of being hit than NASA has of bringing it down.
Well, that's right, you know. I mean, here we are. We're talking about how smart we are, how good we are, but there's been work done on, or computer work done on asteroids, and how would you avoid a collision with something that's in the order of tens of metres, even kilometres wide? Well, time to throw away your DVD of The Day After Tomorrow. Time to throw away the Bruce Willis one you got of Armageddon. They found that even a large impact, a huge impact on a city-sized asteroid, would still leave enough energy and enough of the rock there to destroy the planet.
God.
So our ideas of blowing it into smithereens aren't going to work. This has been done at Johns Hopkins University in the United States, and it's found that asteroids are going to require more energy to be completely shattered. So computer modelling is saying it may not be a good idea to blow a big bit of rock into hundreds and hundreds of pieces, even dozens of pieces, because you're still going to get clobbered by those when they do hit. And even though they're not big or big enough to wipe the entire planet out, you've got bits there that could take out a suburb or two in one fell swoop, major cities, you know.
We don't want to panic people, but we've just...
There's nothing coming our way. There's no danger we can see. But if it did happen, we need time up your sleeve. You need time to go and do something. And the best plan, and we've talked about it before, is to simply get a tug and push it out of the way.
Yeah.
But you need lead-up time. We need to know that.
Well, put it this way. If we had a 5 or even a 10-year advance warning of an asteroid coming, every single bit of resource would be poured into developing some sort of technology. So we'd be forced to do it.
And we could do it. I mean, given time, you could do that. Mm. So it's not a case of if we get hit, it's a case of when. Mm. And that when needs a little bit of time to formulate an answer.
Mm.
You know, when you look at the history of planet Earth, there's been 5 major extinctions in our history, and 3 of those you can put down to an asteroid or a comet impact. And the last one, of course, was 65 million years ago that wiped the dinosaurs out.
Yeah.
It's a real problem, even though the chances of it happening are very, very slim, astronomical, if you want to use that term, the possibility is still there. And we've seen over the last few years how many times we've been passed by big bits of rock close to us, inside the orbit of the moon in some cases. It's only a matter of time when we find one that is heading straight our way, and we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant.
I know what you mean.
Diligent too, or vigilant, and we need to be aware or have a mechanism to go and allay that fear or do something about that rock and just nudge it out of the way, push it out of the way little bit by little bit. Over a period of 5 or 10 years, by doing that, it'll pass us by with a huge margin. So again, breaking it into hundreds of bits of rock, smashing it up is not a good idea. There are better ideas, but keep in mind too, what they're saying is not to alarm everybody. It's just to use the old Boy Scout adage, be prepared.
Exactly. And people think with all the noise Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are making, does NASA still exist? Well, yes, they're still doing their research. And I love on davidrenicki.com, NASA has found a solar system with 7 planets just like ours.
Yeah, this is good science, you know. This is what we've been looking for. This is the holy grail of astronomy. And they've been working with the European Southern Observatory. And they've made an astonishing discovery, a whole system of planets, same size as the Earth, that may have water on them. 40 light years from here is not far. Well, to try and get there is an impossibility at the moment.
Elon, have you got something faster or Branson?
It's probably 100 years away before we can gain light speed or even anything like that. But 6 of these rocky worlds are like our planet, and 3 of them are in that nice little favourable zone we call the Goldilocks zone.
Yes.
The habitable zone where we live around our own sun, where liquid water can probably exist on the planet. There may even be life there, we don't know. And again, we're talking about places we can go to in the event of a disaster. These are other worlds that we'll eventually go to, if not these ones, more that we'll find in the future. And the human race will extend its presence out past planet Earth and become a multi-planet species.
And of course, all those stories are more at davidrenicki.com, and details about your very first novel, David.
Oh, how could I forget? Look, the ebook I wrote, Apollo 11, The Untold Story, is still available on my website. This is the book I wrote after my visit to Buzz Aldrin there a few years ago. Found out things that we didn't know about the moon landing, things we weren't told, things that went wrong, and a lot of other business in between. Probably about 50 different items that I put in there. It's going to surprise and amaze everybody. We are coming up to the 50th anniversary, so that's available for your listeners to go and have a look at. Apollo 11, The Untold Story, downloadable straight away. It's only $14.99.